Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready? Say yeah!
How's everybody doing this evening? And how's the African family? And how are the children? I hope they're fair to Midland. And welcome to the Care to Read Room. I'm glad you decided to join us as we climb the ladder of moving up to a more spiritual position in life. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're laying the foundation for the spiritual development so that we can move up the ladder, the tree of life. The ladder that we move up will allow us to be more spiritual in our nature while we kill off the old man and bring it under subjection. That's why we decided on that song, because it helps us get ready to move up the tree of life and become more spiritual, more better, and more gooder. More better and more gooder. Like Spike Lee once said, you have to perfect yourself, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what we're doing here in the Care of the Read Room. We're trying to perfect our spiritual consciousness, finding ourselves one with it. So how are you this evening? Are you ready for another Feature Friday? You know how we do it. You knew that when you came here that we were going to be having a great time here today. We're going to loosen up a bit on Friday because we know Friday is a laid-back day. And thank God for TGI Friday, and you know how Omi likes to do it. We are going to bring on the drum roll. Can I get a drum roll back there? Can I get a drum roll in this place? Somebody bring the drums, please. There goes drums. Just come in on the drum, ladies and gentlemen. We leave on the drum. If I will permit. In the meantime, get ready for a feature show that you will never forget. This is the show that you want to lay the foundation. You know, this is the primitive, the new beginning. We're not for our whole mind into the space. We're starting. See, we have to bring the emperor in. If you remember in the Roman days, there was an empire that was fighting. The Romans fought to bring in all of the goods from all over the world, and the emperor managed everything, sort of like the United States, where the United States president manages everything. The emperor was a little different, however, ladies and gentlemen. All those that was in official office, when they brought in the goods, they shared in the likeness of the goods. Remember that the Roman emperor was the one that decided to take Christianity and to convert it to the Roman emperor's belief system. It was no longer Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't really know why you're fighting so hard to keep a Roman empire in position. Do your research. Research the thing. Go head on and research. You will find that during Constantine's ruling, he decided that he would buy into Christianity, we would think. And when he bought into it, he brought the Roman Empire's position in and gave it back to us as a counterfeit Christianity. When we're thinking we're worshiping Jesus, we are worshiping the Roman Empire. But you wouldn't know that if you didn't do the research. Go ahead on. You can do the research. We're going to break down some things about Christianity to help you understand that you must do your homework. Now, ladies and gentlemen, did I say I was going to give you some homework today? That's right. I'm going to give you some homework to have you go back and research from the Mutilated Book, from the King James Mutilated Book. I'm going to give you homework so that you can find out for your very self. Now, remember, the views and the position does not necessarily express that Blog Talk Radio station or Project 2019. This is according to Omi. And we are going to be breaking bread together, knowing that you can research on your own. Don't believe what I say. Go behind my words and research what I'm telling you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready, because we know we can't do anything without the power of faith. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for station identification, and let's listen to the power of faith. Yeah. Yes, yes, our faith is strong, and we know it's because of our ancestor song. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please stand in your seat now as we commence with the talking cure. I am going to get permission to speak by the elders so I can go ahead on and do the libation. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much. I'm going to see if Baba has the libation ready. Baba, are the libations ready?
Yes, they're ready.
Thank you very much. I'll commence with the libation, ladies and gentlemen. As you stand to your feet, getting out your list of your ancestors' name, I ask that you participate with me in this occasion. Ladies and gentlemen, as libation is poured, we fertilize the ground so that when the word falls, it will not fall upon stony rocks, but it will take root and grow and spring up. As I pour libations to the east, I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, I say Ashe. As I pour libations to the north, I say Ashe. As I pay four libations to the south, I say Ashe. In all four cardinal directions, the libation has been fallen. And where the water falls, Lord, let it take root. Let the word spring up in someone's heart, and may they meditate on the word, and may they forevermore hide the word in their heart, so that they may not sin against the Father. We stand before the elders today as we quiet ourselves. We began to shake our hands outside of ourselves so that the frequency can run through our brains. As we shake our hands and feel the vibration, we extend our hands out to those that are less fortunate, and we send frequency and vibration all over the land. As we send those frequencies out, may you have faith that loved ones are being healed. I sense that someone's loved one needs to be healed. Use your energy to send the frequency down. I sense that someone doesn't want to fight in their family anymore. Send the frequency. Send the energy to heal that family. I sense that there are mothers looking for their wayward children who want them to come home. I said, go ahead and kill that fatted cow and call for your sons and daughters to come home, and they will respond. I say today we use affirmation, and in our affirmation and our affirmative prayer, what we say, we watch over our words and ask God to watch over our words to perfect them. If His word is in us, and if we are in His words, we can ask what we will. That is why we command our words, and we give charge to our words, and we give energy to our words, so that they will not return unto a void, but they will accomplish that which is intended. And as we call forth the things that be not as though they were, our frequency and our energy began to do that very thing that we're calling on. Now quiet yourself as you take deep breaths. Synchronize your vital signs with mine, and I'll synchronize mine with yours as we develop synchronicity. Breathing in and out, breathing in the oxygen, an inhalation of kindness, love, and peace. Exhaling out the spirit of hatred, docileness. We breathe in the inhalation of God, knowing that we are God, little children, and we have overcome them. Breathe with me now, breathing in and out. Say the only name of God in all language. Ah. Ah. Breathe with me now. Ah. Taking deep breaths in and out, meditating and not allowing your mind to shift and to sway. Concentrating on quietness. Do not allow the mind to be hurried. Do not allow the mind to be rushed. Slowing the mind down by breathing in and out. Thinking on the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Believing that you are the essence of God. You might not be that ocean. You might not be that river or that lake. But you are one drop of water as that lake is to that ocean. Believe that you are of the essence of God. and believe that the things that God does, so can you do them. Not in the magnitude, but you have his essence. So therefore, you are growing in grace every day, climbing up the ladder of spirituality, laying the foundation to a spiritual life. As you lay the foundation to a spiritual life, you're becoming more like God than you'll ever know. You have the essence of God. You have his image. So why not walk out the life that God would have for you to live? God has plans for you. He had plans from you for birth. Man plans, I know, but God is the best of planners. So why not let God plan your future? Call upon Oromola. Oromola was there at the inception of man. He knows your beginning from your end. He knows your destiny. Ask Oromola to reveal your destiny to you as you call upon the ancestors. Let us now begin to call upon our ancestors, picking out your list and placing them in front of you and calling the name. I now ask you to do likewise. I light a candle for my father's people, that they may have light and guidance. I set a glass of water in front of them, so that their thirst may be quenched. May you forever have light, Father, and may your family members be guided. I light a candle before my mother's people, that they may have light and guiding and finding their way back home. I set a glass of water to quench their thirst, so that they are not thirsty during the journey. I say, come back home, family. I call on the ancestors now. I call on them so that they may hear my voice. I call on Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. I call on Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Eugene Son Lilly, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. Essie Lee Pope, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Nisho Lilly, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call on Tom Harvey, Ashe. I call on Michelle Harvey, Ashe. I say, so be it. So let it be done. And if we acknowledge those heroes and sheroes in all four corners of the earth, we summon you too, Thornhill Hurston. We call on you too, Harriet Tubman. And come up from behind that tree, Nat Turner, we see you. And Marcus Garvey, lay your plan down for us once again. We're ready to take that voyage on the ship. And I call out Chancellor Williams' name to be a witness here today. Dr. Carruthers and Asa Hillary took on a caravan, brothers. It is time now for us to come up with a plan to lay the foundation of spirituality. As I call on the heroes and sheroes, may you please allow us to stand on your shoulders today. Help us to see with our natural eye, our third eye. Let us see behind the scene. Let us see without the natural eye. Are you whole, ancestors? And are you free? Are you whole and are you free? Ladies and gentlemen, we must allow ourselves to be whole and free and have harmony among one another as we seek to give our harmony unavoidably to those who ask. May God give us the grace we need, which is so sufficient in our neighborhood. If you are whole and you are free, stand to your feet. If you are whole and you are free, stand to your feet. Because we are looking to find those who have transcended flesh and blood and who are now working in the realm of the spirit. There will come a time when you won't know yourself anymore. Oh, that when you learn to know who you are and to know the way you love one another, you will love yourself because you can show kindness and you can show reciprocity and you can begin to accept one another. You begin to embrace one another as your own. Two commandments I leave you with. To know thyself and love thyself. And the second one is like it to the first. Is to love your neighbor as yourself. You say, only who where there's darkness, there will always be light. What good is self if it's not there to save us and other than to trample over? Do not be salt that is no good for the community. Be the salt and the light of the world as you begin to lead people into understanding and right knowledge of themselves. Understanding that it is great to commune with your higher self. And as you commune with the God that was assigned to you, make sure you pay homage to him every day, your Ori. And in paying homage to your Ori, speak to your Ori and converse with yourself. Take time to find out what is on the mind of God. And get the ear of the King and know the mind of God. I know that it was said it is difficult for one to know the mind of God. But when you sit with God long enough, you will know his desire. And you will know because you share in his likeness. He cooperatively advocates with you. You cannot sin against your Father. You cannot sin against yourself. You are not your own, ladies and gentlemen. We've all been brought with the price. And we have a debt to pay. And that is a debt to pay for society to live our lives in such a way that God will be pleased with us. He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for walking with me and talking with me on the Talk to Cure. This is how we use psychological foundations to heal and to cure our own problems and addiction. This is how we begin to find solutions for our problems in our community. This is the way that my dear Big Daddy, Papa, and our teachers used to do it. They walked out their salvation and talked out their problems. No matter how crazy it may sound, we are not talking to dead people. We are talking to and communing with our ancestors who could never die. Their frequency is great. Now tap into the atmosphere. You can reach in and you can pull out the strength you need. Because I know some of you need it. You can tap in and you can reach in and pull out that joy and that happiness that you've been longing for so long. Now tap in, my sister. You can tap into that melanin that's been left behind for you to give you energy that you need to take that step forward. You can become whole and free. I know you can tap in because the energies are all around us and they're vibrating the frequencies that we so badly need. As we begin to understand that the ancestors are listening to God, if you're not worshiping them, your ancestors, you're being very foolish. They're the closest ones to God, and they came here for the long hope of why you're here. Don't think it's strange, or don't think it's foolish that we're speaking to the atmosphere, and you do not see a physical being. See with your spiritual eyes. Close your eyes and see with your spiritual eyes. If you could see with eyes, see in the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that there is a heaven here on this earth.
Allow me to let spirituality
spring up out of me. Thank you for the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to be a part of this ceremony as you go into the sanctuary, hoping that you can tap in to your higher self, finding the ancestors there waiting for you, ready to share their victory with you. Yes, you can have a victory for your ancestors. They have never left your family. They are waiting for you to call them. Call out to them and ask them to come home. They want to come home, but prepare a place for them. Remember, they must have their heads fed. They must have nourishment, that you must remember to prepare a place for them and feed them and call their names often. It is up to the living. Stay in touch. As we stay in touch with the dead now, ladies and gentlemen, greet your ancestors one by one. Ancestors, you are definitely welcome here today. Thank you for joining us in the talking chair, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. As we have come now into the sanctuary, everyone being seated, I trust that you have found your places there. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to station identification for 1 minute because we are embarking upon a new season, and that is the Kwanzaa season. And I want you to remember that we are going to have to acknowledge all of the seven principles and understanding that Ujamaa tells us that we have to provide and purchase from our own people and buy from ourselves. They can tell you. I'm going to put them on now. They can tell you exactly how they feel.
Shop owner, I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should? My brothers who got all their wealth, they say God bless the child who got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do?
Economic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to patronize our small businesses in our community, especially with Kwanzaa season coming up. We want to make sure we make our list early and prepare to make the purchases from our neighboring stores who make those great things that are conducive for Kwanzaa celebration. We want to make sure that we also dialogue with them and telling them what our needs are for Kwanzaa, so they can make those things to specification. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that some of us get Christmas confused with Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is a first fruit giving back to God your first fruit. Some people have been known to celebrate Christmas and Kwanzaa. Now, if you're still locked in tradition, Omi's not mad with you. If you're still locked in tradition, you have to have your tree and you have to do some commercial shopping because of tradition. I am not mad with you. It takes time to transition and matriculate out of traditions. I understand. Oh, boy, do I understand. I have a child that's born on Christmas Day, and he won't let me get away without celebrating his first birthday. And he likes the whole trimming. I understand. But I do make sure I celebrate Kwanzaa every year. He understands that. He's no longer just getting a Kwanzaa gift, but he's getting some commercial things as well. He is a big boy now. He's in college, and he expects to have something under the tree for him for his birthday, and even a cake. Yes, we're into rituals and tradition. Some of us, because of our forefathers, we've been ingrained in that. What I would like to understand is that I do search out my neighborhood stores right there in my community to purchase from. I go out of my way to buy from them to keep the dollar circulating with them. So I'm telling you to do the same thing. And I'm also telling you that don't forget to also teach your children about the tradition of where Christmas came from. And also letting them know that there's no Santa Claus and that you personally are the one that slayed as a mother and father to put those things under the tree. And that the only Santa Claus they will know is Mommy and Daddy. And let them pay homage to you. And don't give homage to somebody that's out there in the middle of somewhere. And let them know Mommy and Daddy bought these gifts and they worked very hard to get them for you. And please do remember to pay homage to me and acknowledge the fact that Mommy and Daddy went out of their way. And if you tell your children this and be honest with them, they'll understand that Christmas is a tradition and it has nothing to do with a big, fat, jolly man coming down the chimney trying to put presents under the tree or to eat the cookies that they've left out. Be honest with them. Don't keep them in a Pharisee land telling them foul stories. You have to be honest with them, ladies and gentlemen. Now, to get back on our subject, we are laying the foundation for the spiritual development. And I'd like to read you something from Med and Nectar, Volume 2. And if you haven't gotten your book already, you definitely want to go out and get this book by Ron and Nefer, Amen. And this book is a fabulous book to lay a foundation for initiates. I highly recommend it. And as I indicated earlier, we will be using Volume 1 and Volume 2 and the Tree of Life throughout the segment of this show. Now, I'd like to read to you on page 158, and it reads, on the stages of initiation or religious spiritual development. The initiation or Asarian religion, and we talked about the Asarian religion, so you should know a little bit about it, process of the comedic in the basis on the fact that within man is an intelligence, that is, the embodiment of the knowledge and the ability to run all of the subconscious vegetative functions and responsibility for the operation of the physical, mental, emotional bodies. When we were conceived and for the earlier portion of our infancy, it is in the foreground of our lives, although it cannot express itself to the dormancy of intelligent faculties through which it communicates itself to the consciousness of the individual as the intellectual faculties begin to develop. It recedes into the background, the subconscious of the individual's life. Word two, it is limited to guiding the vegetative involuntary function. The divine plan, however, is for it to be resurrected and allowed through the will to guide the willed social activities of the individual, careers, family, job, government, economics, and etc. Considering, however, the awesome amount of knowledge at its disposal, we can see the tremendous advantages that can be thus gained. Religion or spiritual civilization or initiation aim, therefore, at resurrecting this indwelling intelligent God residing in man, spirit. That is the way to rule in the life of individuals and nations. Now, let me stop there. In other words, God is residing in man, and we are looking at a spiritual atmosphere for the initiate, or we're looking at a religion. And we don't want to be tied to religion. We're trying to become spiritual, which is different. The first stage, however, ladies and gentlemen, goes on to say, of initiation is devotion to the resurrection of Asah, the God within us, ladies and gentlemen. This is shown by the ascetic sorrow over the condition of the gods, the God within, i.e., devotion to God is not merely the praising of God as a benevolent father or mother who has given and expressed their love to God for such reasons. The Kemetic teaches an expression of devotion to God. God is carefully and accurately identified behavior. It is a characteristic by the genius experiencing of sorrow over the resurrection of God within to the maintaining the vegetative subconscious function. As such, God is considered as one who is dead. This symbolism is easily understood by considering the appearance of someone in a coma. This sorrow leads to the incessant search for the means of resurrecting the God within and to the birth of the will, Heru, to subdue the lower faculties to enable the indwelling divinity to resume the ruins of power over the life of the individual. And it goes on and says, devotion is assisted by positive thinking and intelligent subordinate to divine law, which is Mayat. It is symbolized by the embus and positive thinking in the Kemetic tradition. It is distinguished from the Western concept of it by sources of the input, we are told, is the son of the union of Asah and Neturu. And when the imagination, the wife, takes Asah as our self-image, our thinking about the issue of our life automatically becomes positive. What or how else would we think of the issue confronting us when we identify ourselves with a part of our being that is omniconscious, omnipresent, omnipotent? In addition, when Neturu, the imagination, gives up Set and unites herself with Asah, she too becomes uplifted. Thus she joins Aset in the search for Asah, dismembered body. Now, you remember the story we told about, that was told about Aset looking for Asah's dismembered body. The second milestone in the religion development or initiation of the individual is the birth of his or her will. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me stop on that. Let me say that you have a will, but you have to bring your will into subjection. Some people don't know that they have the will to stop drinking. They have the will to withdraw or sustain from unacceptable behavior or recreational drugs. They have the will, and you have the authority to use your will. And some people don't understand that will will struggle with the flesh. And because you have this will, you have to start laying the foundation for things that are positive that you do in your life. Because once you've laid these things in your life, your body begins to struggle with the flesh and trying to live righteous because you have laid a foundation. Now it goes on to say that deliberate cultivation of the gene, of the genius, experience of sorrow over the lowly roles of God within, the absence of divine influence in the will portion of the man, the man's life subject him to the tyranny of the lower part of being. That is our lower extremity, our flesh. The sorrow of the ascetic part of being developed the will to fight untiringly against the dominant of the lower part of the being. Your flesh is dominant, ladies and gentlemen. If your spirit has not been developed properly and given power, it becomes weak to the flesh. And the dominant becomes the flesh that you are warring with. The third milestone in the religion development of initiation of the individual is the cultivative effect of the consistent application of the will against the lower faculties in the lower body. He or she is found to be ma kahuru and or to be consistent in living truth. This quality, the initiate, this qualifies initiate to consciously work with the awesome unit of power residing in the sectum division of the spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have portions of our body that is set up where the spirit realm represents zero as the highest ultimate spiritual level we can accomplish. And at the lower portion of our feet is the more non-spiritual being, which represent the humanistic aspect of our body. And it goes on to say, the third milestone in the religious development initiate of the individual is a cumulative effect of the consistent application of the will against the lower faculties. He or she is found to be man's helper, we said. Now, on defeating evil in the life of individuals and society, ladies and gentlemen, here's what it outlines and what it says. You might want to take note of it. To defeat evil in society, we must defeat it in the individual. We must remember that sex power comes from deceiving sa man who makes up the majority in the world. He is to be uplifted through the initiation program outlined above, ladies and gentlemen. We must also reactivate the fact that before set can be made to account to the truth by which man lives, he must be resisted by all means that are in harmony with divine law. Thus the war between set and Heru, it is one of Set's greatest sects of deception to us all from all forms of aggression and divisiveness, divide it and conquer to achieve his end. Then denounce everyone who uses such methods to oppose his evil. Ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, Seth can only be fully defeated by bringing him to the court of justice, which is based on weighing his actions against the laws he has proclaimed. Given his nature and his agent, he must break every one of them. Okay. In the life of the individual and the freedom fighter, it means that she must always fight by means which do not run a foul division law. The story, however, shows that such means do not exclude violence means. Set will tell you in a second that his God has remained fire and brimstone on his enemies, and tell his enemies that they must resist nonviolence. Of course, set the man who hears him and does not see his way through life fails for these deceptions. He falls for these deceptions. So, in other words, this set is telling you that God will rain fire and brimstone down on you and to give in to the will. In other words, he's using brainwashing techniques. And this is a metaphor, ladies and gentlemen, that they're giving you an example of. The divine social order and the evil genius of Set. Yes, Set was considered an evil genius. And it goes on to say on page 161, are we to believe that men will found nations and plan their social order and that God would make the world without a plan for it? However, many scholars do know and have seriously concerned themselves with the question, God's plan for the world is indissolvable, tried in which the purpose for the creation of the world. We recall that the essential state of God is one of absolute inactivity and absence of things. The world is the manifestation and objectified aspect of God. But God just doesn't create the world and watch it from the subjective realm. It enters and enters in the lives, and it has the consciousness dwelling in all things. And the only creature that can serve as a vehicle for the manifestation of the fullness gives it the experience that it is God, is man. The divine plan, therefore, involves the establishment of a social order that will enable mankind's development through a spiritual infancy. The saw man to the point of complete growth or evolution as a saw stage. The social order, ladies and gentlemen, that Netter intended for mankind is a world in which God manifests himself in the world through and as the Asah man to guide the Ad man in the function of administering the instruction that governs and regulates the behavior of the bulk of the population, which is made up of Asah men according to the Kemetic model. Now, let me slow down for a minute. They said that most of the people in the world are the assigned man, meaning that they need guidance, meaning that God sent that concept here to guide those large portions of men and women who are misguided. However, there are the ad men who don't need the guidance and who Asari was not sent to. In other words, it sounds like religion was created for those who need to be led like a lamb, and for those who were pretty sure and knew what the plan was for their life from God, they did not need it. In other words, there was a time when religion was not made for African Americans. It was not made for the African, because religion came up out of the African. They were the callers to prayer. What I want you to understand in laying your foundation for a more spiritual life, you've got to separate religion from spirituality. Now, here's a prime example of what religion might be. If someone had asked you to pray, and you could pray silently in a room by yourself, or if you've been given the option of praying in a large room among people, and two of you have been asked to pray, and you see this as an opportunity to usurp your authority and exert yourself, you might go out and pray a loud prayer with all manners of exquisite words to intrigue the people. Whereas The other man might pray a simple prayer, one that was humble and submissive, not conceited. Then you would go back and brag to the people, see, he's a commoner. He did not pray in the manner in which I prayed to God. You would then want the accolades from the people to be rewarded and acknowledged for your prayer being more elegant and loud. In other words, if you are attached to religious osity and doing things so that you can get accepted and if you get all of your accolades here on earth, then there is no reason for you to get any accolades in heaven because you receive them here on earth. So it's very important that we separate religion from spirituality. Spirituality is not necessarily what you do. It's your practice. It's your way of life. And it is you doing things from your heart, not necessarily from ritualistic laws that man have created. And spirituality will come up out of you, and it will come impromptuly, and you act those things out, and you won't have to give it a second thought as to what to do. It is your way of life. And you must understand that a way of life is not something you pick up overnight impromptu. It's something you've done in your spirit and that you've used as a structure for carrying out in your life. Now, Initius, I want you to know one thing. I'm not asking you to go join a church. In fact, I'm asking you to go on sabbatical if that's what you need to do in order to find your spirituality and lay the developmental foundation for your spiritual growth. Sometimes all of this obnoxious and all of this recreational things that go on in the church can deter you from having a relationship with the Creator. You usually give the control to the preacher, and you don't take the time to develop for yourself a relationship with God. Now, I want you to develop a relationship with God for yourself, and that means to get up and meditate. Meditating on a daily basis where you sit with God for at least 15 minutes and taking deep breaths are nothing but what God wants to say to you. Trying to listen with that quiet ear and hear what it is that God wants you to know. Above all things, I want you to begin to know yourself. Don't become double-minded. Spend time getting to understand what it is you like and what it is you don't like. Not letting people sway you. Remember, you have a will. Enforce your will. Use your will and know that you have a right to your will. Now, as you begin to know yourself better, you begin to understand people better. Take some time learning your neighbor and what their characteristics are. Don't run with people who don't have like character like your own. The Bible says, how can one or two walk together unless they both agree? What will happen is the person with the negative views will overtake you. How can you be equally yoked if you're running with someone who have different beliefs than yourself? You've got to make sure you're aligning yourself with those that share the same concepts you do. Now, that doesn't mean that you completely ignore all of those who need to be transformed. You transform them, you spend time helping them, but you don't put them under your wing and make them your friend and allow them to guide your life because they're in trouble and they need help. Now, how do you know that you're ready to go out and speak to a crowd of people or talk to someone that needs help? You start laying the foundations in your own life and letting your light be seen by others. And letting your light be seen by others, meaning that you practice and walk out salvation that you're attempting to teach. And as people begin to see the foundation for your life, they will know that you have truly transformed yourself. Transformation takes a process. It is a process, Initiate. But as you make the process in laying the foundation for your life, make sure you hide the word deep in your heart. Take that Bible and read it as mutilated as it is. Know the Bible because it's a foundation. Those who know the scriptures are powerful. I recite the scriptures periodically in here. I read and know the scriptures as much as I can and frequently go over and study it. But don't forget to pick up other books like the Holy Tablets, the Ron and Nefer's book by Meta Netter 1 and 2, the Tree of Life, and many others, and compare and read. Do not let one book become your diet, because scrolls are still in the caves that weren't interpreted. They're still laying there to be interpreted. You have a partial book that has not been completed. There are books missing from the Bible. You do not have the whole counsel. You cannot possibly have the whole counsel when they are reciting that there are scrolls that are still waiting to be interpreted. Now, remember that all of these men that wrote in this book were writing letters from different perspectives at different eras of time. And trying to pull all of these stories together to have synchronicity is a rather difficult job. And most of the ministers, apostles, and preachers and evangelists are having a hard time pulling it all together. You have to remember that during the time that the Romans were on this earth and that they were fighting, and Constantine didn't know what to do with the Christians because they were gaining in numbers. They said, why fight them? Why not join them? But turn their so-called Christianity into a Roman philosophy and make them think that you embraced their Jesus when, in fact, they hadn't. Now, when you see Christians running with this word, saying it's the only way that one can be saved through Jesus, you must know that Jesus did not come for the world. He did tell his disciples one thing. He said, if you have a coat, sell it and buy a sword. It's throwdown time. And that's what it's going to be for the initiates. It's throwdown time. Jesus wasn't about no milk toast. He wasn't sipping on no cookies and Kool-Aid. He was about throwing down when he overturned the tables in the money-making area. Not only did he say that I didn't come to bring you religion, but I came to bring a sword. A sword represents confrontation, ladies and gentlemen. If you research the book, you'll find that Jesus and John, both being cousins, that John was Assyrian. An Assyrian follower also meant that he was a resurrectionist. And people were tried and they were convicted for resurrectionists in those days. And as John was Assyrian, John was out in the wilderness eating honey, locusts, and grasshoppers. He sounded like a guerrilla warfare to me, ladies and gentlemen, because that's what guerrillas do that are fighting out in the rough. However, it was also found out that Jesus could have probably been an Assyrian with his cousin John. However, they had two different philosophies on the take. Jesus thought that he could love them back to perfection. John knew it was going to take a sword and war. So they debated over those two issues. Nevertheless, they were part of the resurrectionists. And they were also a part of bringing the truth to the people and fighting the Romans. They died, and that's what history knows for sure, that Jesus died fighting the Romans, because the Romans had an empire, and they were taking in all the goods from all over the world. And the lay person who was poor, it was a caste system. They had nothing. And the emperor was not going to give up anything. But the Jewish people wanted their own religion, they wanted their own institution, and they wanted a piece of the pie. So they decided to create them a representative who could carry them in to a victorious battle. Jesus and John both were being chosen to be leaders because the people were tired. They were guerrilla warfare. They fought. And they also understood that there was an underground. And there, as quiet as it's being kept, the Black Panther has some identification in their lives. It was an emblem that they utilized. They were part of the Black movement because they were fighting for salvation. It wasn't a church fighting like we think now. The church is dead. The church was created for movement and change. What the Romans gave us today is not created for movement and change. It was to satisfy the Romans. The Romans killed many of Christians, many of Christians in the Crusades. You can read about it. I'm not teaching history now, but I know anybody that could read can go pull the books out and read it. There were many Crusades where many people were killed, all in the name of Christianity. And those Crusades was to force them into Christianity. There was only about 20% that willingly became a Christian. The rest of the percentage were beaten into submission to become Christians. This was a crusade that everybody has who has read history knows about. So if you are not readers, get involved and start reading. That's your homework assignment, to read about the crusades and what happened during the Christian crusades and what was Constantine doing and why were they killing the so-called Christians then. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that religion in and of itself was created for the benefit of somebody else's gratification. And that if we're going to conquer and divide ourselves and dice ourselves up into little sectors saying who's the best and who's the greatest, then we'll never get anywhere with understanding that religion was created for those who couldn't think for themselves. And religion itself divides us. We have to understand that if we're going to use religion, it has to be used for a cause to change conditions. You have to understand that Jesus wasn't a milquetoast boy. And that Jesus had many times wanted to give back the responsibility to lay down his life. It features it right in the Bible. He said, if you can take this cup from me, Lord, take this cup away. Give it to somebody else, in other words. I don't want it. Jesus had a second thought about changing the plan. Was the plan changed? And as they talk about in the Holy Tablets, that the Caesarean man came, and as they placed the two men on the cross, that him was in the middle, and they carried Jesus away in the midst. You need to read about that to find out who is him, and was Jesus carried away, and was Jesus begging God to release him from this requirement of dying for the sins of the world. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you know your history and you know how Christianity came about and you know what the causes were. Christianity is a political issue. This is all religions are, and they're founded under that. Am I saying for you to give Christianity back? No, you do what you want to. I'm telling you to do your homework. So when you understand, you know for sure that you're black. You know that you're African. And you know you came from a land base. Why not study your African culture and your way of life so you really will know what your customs are? That's all I'm saying. Now, I want to say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, initiates, you have homework. Go out and study the Crusades of Christianity and come back in this room tomorrow and talk about it. Come back in this room. Well, matter of fact, tomorrow is Saturday. I won't be in this room tomorrow. So you're going to want to come back on Monday to talk about it. Please do bring your background history in, and that number is 646-478-0270. And you definitely want to bring in your comments, ladies and gentlemen, and I know that you want to come in to talk about it. I'm going to play Ujima for you, and we're going to get ready to go out of here in a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
We
ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going on this trip with Omi as she talked about the ascent stage of the initiate. This is our fifth stage. Ladies and gentlemen, I definitely want you to be informed and to be good initiates. So go and do your homework and study the Crusades, the Christian Crusades, and what happened during the stage where the Roman Empire took over and brought in Christianity. Come back and be ready to talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. I know you can do it. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. I hope that you're getting your names in, doing the talking cure. I hope you're tapping into the spirit and that you're receiving what it is you need in your life. And remember that this 25-day initiation was designed to transform us into a master. I'm hoping that we can master those things that we have not been able to master in the natural. I'm hoping that we also can get into some divination and understand how to do our own readings and understand through the comedic teaching. There is a form of doing divination that you can do on your own to do your reading every 4 days to get a direction for your life and find out what your divine purpose is. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You definitely want to join us on Monday, and we'll be right back here in this room consuming ourselves with developmental stages of the initiate so we can lay down the foundation and we can go from glory to glory as we climb up the tree of life as we develop our spirituality. I want to thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. And if you go with me on that note, Omi is out of here, and I say, oh, double and baba booey to you, y'all.